Good day out there, everybody. This is the Then and Now podcast, season 2, episode 6. I'm your host, John Shomo. This week, we are going to discuss some baseball stuff, some college basketball stuff, including a contest that we have ongoing, and some Trump stuff. But first, as usual, we will get into the facts for the week, historical events and birthdays for the week of April 2nd through the 8th. Starting on April 2nd, as we record this on April Fool's Day, April 2nd would be tomorrow. Okay. On April 2nd, 1917, President Woodrow Wilson, before a joint session of Congress, asked for a declaration of war on Germany. That had been building. There had been some incidents. Wilson had kept us out of war, as he had said, during his 1916 presidential campaign, which he won. But there were some events after the election and preceding April 2nd that left Wilson really no choice, and he asked for a declaration of war on Germany. On April 2nd, 2007, the Florida Gators defeated the Ohio State Buckeyes 84-75 to win the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. A couple of birthdays on April 2nd. Marvin Gaye, the late, great Marvin Gaye, born April 2nd, 1939. And Sir Alec Guinness, who some of you folks would know as the man who played Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars, Alec Guinness, born April 2nd, 1914. On April 3rd, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. gave his famous mountaintop speech at a temple in Memphis, Tennessee. It would be the last speech he would give. It is stirring. It is remarkable. It gives you shivers. If you haven't ever seen it, take a look for it. It's really a stunning moment in American history, in my view. Birthdays on April 3rd include the late actor Marlon Brando, born April 3rd, 1924. Comedian Eddie Murphy will be 64 on April 3rd. Actor Alec Baldwin will be 67. And the late Virgil I. Gus Grissom, the second American to fly in space, was born April 3rd, 1926. Gus Grissom flew the second Mercury LOB 15-minute flight in 1961. He was an astronaut aboard Gemini, the Gemini program in the mid-60s, and he was the crew chief, if you will, of the first Apollo flight crew, Apollo 1, which tragically they perished in a fire during a test on the launch pad on January 27th, 1967. So we honor Gus Grissom today. April 4th, moving to April 4th, the NATO Treaty, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, was signed in Washington, D.C. on April 4th, 1949. The current situation in the United States is straining the NATO alliance, to be sure. Dr. King was killed, as we mentioned, assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee, as he stood on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel on April 4th, 1968. April 4th, 1974 was opening day for the Major League Baseball season. The first game was played, as is the tradition, in Cincinnati, because that was the first professional baseball team, the Reds. Henry Aaron tied Babe Ruth's home run record. He hit number 714 that day off Jack Billingham in Riverfront Stadium, April 4th, 1974. Moving to April 5th, local news here, local history. The Firestone Tire and Rubber Company began producing inflatable rubber tires. That's some concept, isn't it? April 5th, 1923. The Fox Television Network debuted on April 5th, 1987. Currently, the Fox Television Network is not owned by Fox Media, if you will. It's owned by, I think, the same folks that own ABC, which would be Disney. The Fox TV Network is a separate entity from Fox News, which a lot of people maybe don't understand, but they are. They are a separately run organization now. One birthday for April 5th, a fellow Firestone High School graduate, the late Judy Resnick, astronaut, born April 5th, 1949. Judy flew in space successfully, I think it was in 1984. She was one of the members of the Challenger crew who perished in the tragic accident shortly after liftoff in 1986. Moving to April 6th, the United States Congress answered Woodrow Wilson's plea with a declaration of war on Germany, April 6th, 1917. A couple of birthdays for April 6th. Hall of Fame pitcher Bert Blyleven, maybe the nastiest curveball I've ever seen. Bert Blyleven will be 74. World champion with the Pirates in 1979, by the way. And Julie Ertz, USA soccer superstar, will be 33. On April 7th, Marietta, the first settlement in Ohio down by the Ohio River, Marietta, founded on April 7th, 1788. W.K. Kellogg, whose name is a giant name in cereal. Kellogg, born April 7th, 1860. Hall of Famer Adrian Beltre has 3,000 hits to his name. Adrian Beltre, will be 46. Finally, this week, we look at April 8th. On April 8th, 1913, the 17th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was ratified, which allows for the public, us voters, if you will, to directly elect U.S. senators. Prior to the 17th Amendment, our U.S. senators were chosen by our state representatives in the state capitals around the country. That's kind of a hard thing to imagine because none of us have ever lived through that, but we now get to directly elect our United States senators. Henry Aaron broke Babe Ruth's home run record 4 days after he tied it. On April 8th, 1974, in a nationally televised Monday night game, I think it was a Monday night, on NBC in Atlanta against the Los Angeles Dodgers. The very good pitcher Al Downing was the man who surrendered number 715 that evening. And I looked it up. I was curious about the viewing audience. It was an NBC telecast, Monday Night Baseball, I think. 35 million viewers were watching on NBC, myself included. Our family was certainly gathered around the TV for that. It was 40% of the entire television viewing audience that evening. There will be no baseball game this year, I predict, which will draw an audience of 35 million viewers live on television. The people will watch it in other ways, maybe, when we get to the playoffs and the World Series, but they won't reach 35 million for any baseball telecast this year. It's kind of a shame, but it's the way we are now. Birthdays for April 8th. The late First Lady Betty Ford, born April 8th, 1918. John Havlicek, captain of the Boston Celtics, won a national championship with the Ohio State Buckeyes in 1960, was actually drafted by the Cleveland Browns. He was that good of an athlete. He did not play football at Ohio State, but Woody Hayes told Paul Brown, hey, you ought to take a look at this guy. He actually took some pictures in a Browns uniform, I think dressed but didn't play in a preseason game. And then he, I think, made the right choice and became one of the greats in Boston Celtic history. John Havlicek, now deceased, born April 8th, 1940. John Lennon's oldest son, Julian, who has a music career of his own, Julian Lennon, will be 62 on April 8th. All right, that's it for our facts this week. More of that, as you know, every week. Next week, we'll get more. Now let's do some topics. We'll take the Trump topic first. A couple of things going on there. Number one, as we record this, tomorrow, April 2nd, is Trump Tariff Day. He has promised imposing a 25% tariff on all imported cars, light trucks, and auto parts. Also added in will be a 25% import tax on all goods from Canada and Mexico. What will that do? It won't do most of us any good, that's for sure. These will further damage an already faltering U.S. economy, and the faltering started soon after Trump took office on January 20th, by the way. Let's not forget that. He has Republican members of Congress calling him, begging him not to do this, because it's going to really, pardon my expression here, piss off a lot of people when they go to buy a car or really anything else from that has anything to do with Canada and Mexico, which is a lot of stuff. These are not the only tariffs he's promising. For some reason, he is really enamored with tariffs. I know we've talked about it a little bit previously. He continues to emulate William McKinley in the 1890s. As a history teacher, the 1890s were really great times if you were in the top 1% of wage earners in the United States. For the other 99%, not so much. No workers' rights, lousy wages, terrible working conditions, etc. So maybe that's what Trump likes. I don't know. We have an interesting situation going on as we record this. Senator Cory Booker from New Jersey is engaged in a filibuster that has now lasted over 12 hours in the United States Senate. He started around 9 o'clock last night. He's still going on. I would imagine some other Democrats are helping him get through it. The rules of the Senate allow if you hold the floor, you don't have to give it up. You can ask somebody, or somebody, another senator can ask you a question and can make the question a half hour long so you can, you know, take a break a little bit to help you keep going. But Senator Booker is still engaged in a filibuster, which has now gone on for more than 12 hours, at least the last time I looked before we started getting ready to do the podcast here. That doesn't happen every day. That's interesting. But the protests still go on, and people are going to really raise a ruckus if all these tariffs go into effect, because you're going to be paying $10,000 more for a car next week than you would today if that takes effect, among other things. So not such a good idea, but he seems to be bent on raising tariffs. All right, moving on to more pleasant type things. Well, this wasn't so pleasant. For the first time ever, I bought the MLB TV package to watch all teams except the Guardians, which I'm blacked out from. And I settled down on opening day last Thursday to watch some baseball and logged into MLB.tv. And then, whoops, as they used to call it in the military, a snafu occurred and I couldn't get to watch the games. Later on, it was solved by the evening. Didn't do me any good to watch the Pirates that afternoon, who lost anyway. I got an email letter from MLB offering, here's their generous offer to us, those of us who couldn't watch opening day. It was a long letter. It said, opening day is a great tradition, blah, 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 blah. We will offer you $10 off on a purchase of $25 or more on MLB.com. So they give you $10 off if you buy $25 more of their stuff. It seems kind of a chintzy offer, in my opinion, you know, anyway. The Guardians did their viewers right, I think. If you bought the Guardians package, which was basically $100 to watch the Guardians this year, they're offering their subscribers 4 free upper reserve tickets to select games in April or May, not including opening day, which is this coming Friday. Good job on the Guardians' part there. That's a kind of a classy thing for them to do, at least. On the field, the talk is all about torpedo bats. And a week ago, I wouldn't have known what the heck that was. But as the Yankees proved over the weekend, at least some of them, a differently shaped bat, and this is a audio medium here, it's hard to describe, shifting the weight of the bat, the bulk of the bat away from the head, the end of the bat, to the sweet spot of the bat where hitters hit the ball more often when they hit it well. Seems to have paid off for the Yankees. They hit 9 home runs on Saturday in a 20-9 win over the Milwaukee Brewers, including home runs on Milwaukee pitcher Nestor Cortez's first 3 pitches of the game, Goldschmidt, Bellinger, and Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge does not use the torpedo bats. He's just fine with the bats that he's hit, you know, 50, 60 home runs with the last few years, and I would be too if I was him. Following Saturday's they followed that outburst, the Brewers, or the Yankees did, against the Brewers with a 12-3 win on Sunday, in which they hit 4 more homers, 2 of them by Jazz Chisholm, who does use the torpedo bat. The Pirates were walked off 3 times by Miami. They must not be using many torpedo bats, I think, over the weekend. A Miami team, that was the first time the Pirates had been walked off in their first 3 losses since 1924, and it was the Pirates. 1924 Pirates were the last team that got walked off in their first 3 losses. That team won 90 games and won the World Series the following year in 1925. I'm not so optimistic about this year's Pirates, by the way, after watching them a couple of times here early in the season. They can't hit. So more about the torpedo bat. Last night, as we record this, Ellie De La Cruz of the Cincinnati Reds used the torpedo bat for the first time, had 2 home runs and 7 RBIs in the Reds' win last night in Cincinnati. A, Cincinnati's a pretty easy park to hit home runs in, as is Yankee Stadium, by the way, FYI. But I imagine there's going to be a lot more hubbub, if you will, about these torpedo bats. They are legal according to MLB's specifications, by the way. It's nothing illegal about it, but we'll see how everybody else reacts to these things. I bet you there's a lot of players and a lot of clubhouses ordering some torpedo bats as we speak. Okay, now moving to our then and now college basketball contest. As you may know, we now have the Final Four secured for both the men's and women's tournaments. For only the second time since seeding began in 1979, all 4-1 seeds made it to the Final Four on the men's side. Auburn will play Florida in the first game this coming Saturday evening, while Duke will play Houston in the nightcap. The Final Four, the men's Final Four, will be in San Antonio this year. The only other time all 4-1 seeds made it in the men's tournament was in 2008. The four teams in 2008, also in San Antonio, by the way, where the Final Four will be this weekend, were North Carolina, Kansas, Memphis, and UCLA. Kansas won in overtime over Memphis in the championship game that year, by the way, just FYI. In our men's contest, the then and now contest on ESPN.com, yours truly and Jeff Cole are tied for first place. I think it will come down to who wins the game between Duke and Houston. Jeff has Duke going all the way, and I have Houston winning the title. I think that will be the game that decides it. Alec Livingston is in third, and he needs a Florida national championship, I think, to have a shot. Jeff and I each have three of the Final Four, by the way, picked in our brackets. Jeff missed on Tennessee. I missed on the Michigan State Spartans. I had them in, and they got beat in the regional final. So we'll look forward to that. That is far from finished. It looks like three of us could win if things go our way. Now, on the women's side, Adriana Morquecho has a huge lead. I think it's insurmountable going into the Final Four. She has all four Final Four teams picked. She's 90 points ahead of second place. Dave Kelsey's in second. Adri has South Carolina winning it all, while Dave has UCLA. That may play into it, but I think Dave has an automatic loss in the semifinal. Adri looks in like she's in pretty good shape. Pat Riley's in third, but he also has the Lady Gamecocks winning, as does Adriana. So I think she's in good shape there. Really, I think Pat can't win it because of that. Looks like Adri's got it wrapped up. I haven't done all the mathematical permutations yet, but big congratulations to her for doing that. The men's contest, we'll see. It's still up for grabs. All right. Moving on to our three good questions segment. We have two of them this week. If you have a good question, please send it into our email address. That's threegoodquestions@gmail.com. We're always looking for good stuff in this segment of the podcast. So send it in. Send in some questions. The first one is from Jeff Cole. Where were the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights stored during the Second World War? They were moved from their usual location in the National Archives building in Washington, D.C. So the question is, where did the Declaration of Independence, the original one, the Constitution, ditto, and the Bill of Rights stored during the Second World War for security's sake? Okay, that's question number one. Question number two comes from me. Which is the only one of the 30 Major League Baseball franchises that has never suffered a 100-loss season? Even the Yankees have had a 100-loss season in their history. There's only one Major League franchise that has never suffered a 100-loss season. Which franchise is it? So you can mull that one over, mull both of those over, and send us your guesses, your answers at threegoodquestions@gmail.com. All right, I think that will do it for this week. The week of the first full week of April. We'll see about those tariffs and see what happens. We may have a lot more to talk about on that next week. But in the meantime, as always, thanks for choosing us out there in the podcastosphere. You can get us on Spotify. My name's John Shomo. This is the Then and Now podcast. Much appreciate your listening. Thanks a lot and have a great week, everybody.